Fulton Arena, Arkansas wins it, 87-85, knocking off number 13, Kentucky, and keeping their hopes alive of making the postseason. Doesn't mean they couldn't have if they had lost last night, but man, what a huge step in the right direction. If you missed the call, and apparently a few people have, I have no idea how because I've played it 10 times a day, but it's not going to get old anytime soon.
Tied at 85. Hogs don't have a timeout. 5 seconds to go. Matt, right side. Three-pointer on the way. No good. Close with the dunk at the buzzer. It goes and Arkansas wins. It goes and Arkansas wins.
I don't know who Brett Bielema is going to replace his defensive coordinator with, but I will say this. I would I'd take Mike out to lunch and see if he could work in some sort of jump ball goal line play for Mike Qualls. What do you think, Emo?
I tell you what, that kid can jump. And you know, isn't that amazing? Coach Anderson told the ESPN lady that he just felt like Michael Qualls was due tonight. That's amazing.
But you got to go with your gut sometimes.
Yeah, he said he's played all for the last two games, and he said he's due one. And he played in a big way.
Yeah, last time I went with my gut, we hired Matty T, so we'll see if it works out. Ethan says, Wisconsin got knocked from the unbeatens right before we got our biggest win of the season. Hashtag karma. Let's not go there. More calls coming up on the Razorback game last night. Right now we go to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Michael Felder of Bleacher Report joining us. Michael, happy new year. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Oh, good. It's the 15th of the year. I think we haven't had you on since the first of the year, so I think it's still okay. Is there a window where it's not okay to say Happy New Year anymore? If we get into February.
It all works.
Okay, you're all good with it? Okay, so lots of coaching news. This is, I guess, not totally unique, but the fact that Arkansas's defensive coordinator just left to go to Ohio State, we're trying to figure out, A, how did that come about, and B, why Ohio State would think that a defensive coordinator off a three-win team would be such a great commodity.
Well, I think part of it is the ties to Wisconsin, and they know that he's a guy that he's a defensive coordinator type. He's going to work with them. Ohio State just lost two big pieces of their defense. Everett Withers is now the coach at JMU. He was a guy that was a defensive coordinator type that worked with Luke Fickell, and they lost Mike Vrabel to the Texans, and they made two really strong hires and Chris Ash, and then obviously in Larry Johnson. So I think they rebuilt that coaching staff to have some success, and obviously, when you look at what Ash is going to be doing at Ohio State versus what he was doing at Arkansas, he's working with a different set of guys, a group that a defense that's already assembled in terms of the pieces instead of trying to build something.
I feel kind of bad, but then at the same time, I hate Ohio State. So part of me wants to get a scarlet red bridesmaid dressed and send it to Luke Fickell because the poor guy goes in as the interim, then they demote him, and now they're bringing in an additional defensive coordinator to help him out, and he's coming from a 3-win team. It's like, hey, Luke, you're doing a great job. You just stick around here. I mean, the poor guy's ego has got to be trampled all over.
I think the way their defense works and the way they're breaking that scheme down into parts, I can see Luke Fickell's hands all over it in terms of the 3-4 things that they're playing. He worked with Vrabel on that. I think that even though they do slap a toe on there, you pay him a few extra bucks, I think that's still Luke Fickell's defense. He's the guy that's going to be there. That's still his defense, his team, his teachings. So I think you're going to get a lot of guys. I think you've got a lot of great minds, and I don't think it's a negative in the fact that they've got, obviously you got Larry Johnson, a guy that was never a defensive coordinator, but man, he's been around football for forever, and he's coached up some great defensive linemen. You got Chris Ash, who's been a defensive coordinator, who's going to take that co-role with Fickell, and then Fickell's a guy that just he keeps getting it done at Ohio State.
Couple of hirings that were a little bit surprising. Two guys that are great coaches, two programs that are certainly very strong, one historically, one in more recent years. Bobby Petrino ends up at Louisville. Charlie Strong ends up at Texas. Who wins the biggest? Who wins the quickest?
I think that both of those probably end up going to Charlie Strong. He's got a team that's got at least some pieces established. I know Louisville's going to lose a lot. They lose Teddy Bridgewater, but they're also going to lose guys like Marcus Smith on the defense. And the big thing for me is at Texas, I know that Strong's going to be able to build. He's going to strengthen the foundation that already exists there. He's going to edify, the players, but the program itself. The interesting thing for me is going to be, what does Petrino do? What does he leave in the cupboard? What does he leave there? And you guys know, and a lot of Bobby Petrino's success is tied directly to Bobby Petrino. And for Charlie Strong, a guy that builds a strong foundation, I think there's going to be plenty for Bobby Petrino there to go in, to win some games in the ACC. I don't think they'll be outright favorite in the ACC, but I think they're going to be one of the top 5-6 teams in the conference. So he's got the ability to win now. I want to see how it works a little bit down the road, once he has to recruit his own defensive players and recruit his own offensive linemen and recruit his own, you know, offensive players, who he recruits, who he gets there, because Louisville's going to have, they're going to have a lot of work to do to maintain that level that Charlie Strong had built.
Michael Felder, Bleacher Report, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Interesting coaching move as well. Not a lot probably made of it. Bo Davis accepts a job at USC, then jumps ship and goes to Alabama. I can understand why you'd want to be at Alabama, but that's kind of a weird turn of events, huh?
Well, the Alabama job wasn't open. And so when Chris Rumpf got the Texas job, he took off, and that job opened up for Bo Davis. Bo Davis was like, you know what? This is a good one, but I was hoping to get that Alabama job. It's all about timing and coaching. And, you know, he had got there, they agreed to terms, but they hadn't really had nothing set in stone. And when you're an assistant coach, you've got to go where you're going to feel the most comfortable. And obviously, that's at Alabama for him.
Who's the next guy at Vandy, you think?
Man, that's an interesting one for me. I look at some of the names. I honestly can't get a good feel for it. It seems like they're out there, and they're just kind of throwing names out there. I saw Brian Schottenheimer earlier today, and that to me just seems like, man, when you've got – we talked about it with Strong, but James Franklin built a strong foundation for that team. I don't know that you want to give it to someone that still, you know, hasn't done a lot at the position. If I'm Vanderbilt, I'm looking at guys, you know, in the Sun Belt, looking at guys – in Conference USA, someone that's built something, someone that knows how to build the foundation. I just don't know that Schottenheimer's that guy.
Yeah, I think Marge Schottenheimer's probably as likely a hire as he would be at that particular place. I did see a story, too. I want to ask you about Franklin going to Penn State and how quickly you think he'll get things going there. And certainly he's inheriting a pretty decent situation despite the handicaps left behind by two regimes ago. There was a story this week that came out in USA Today. Christine Brennan was very critical of the hire. She brought up two things. She brought up the comment about James Franklin saying he recruits coaches because of how their wives look, which is totally tongue-in-cheek and, to me, not relevant at all to the conversation. The other thing that she brought up was the rape case at Vanderbilt, which, to me, you can't predict when kids will do things they're not supposed to do. All you can do is respond the right way. I haven't seen anything that would indicate to me that he's done anything wrong as far as the way he handled it. Maybe I missed something, but I thought both those were way off base. And I realize she's got to fill the paper with copy, but to me, neither one of those are very good points.
Yeah, I'm kind of in there with you. I think the big thing for me is that it's not just that James Franklin has handled it the right way or hasn't done anything wrong. It's that Vanderbilt stepped up and handled it 100% correctly. The calls, they didn't leave it up to Franklin to decide what he was going to do. They made sure that everybody, they kind of sort of that unilateral defense of, hey, you know what, we've got to get this, we've got to exercise this, we've got to cut this out, sorry, you've got to go. And we've got to do right. So I think that's a big thing here. Penn State, if your question is Penn State, what's going to happen? They've got to have the people in place too, not just James Franklin, but above James Franklin, to do the right thing, something they didn't have before. So I think that's got to be the question. If I'm looking at Penn State, I think the big thing for me is not James Franklin. It's not the red case of Vanderbilt. The big thing for me is who's in charge at Penn State and how in charge are they? And I don't think James Franklin, the coach, is going to get to walk over anyone at Penn State. So I think Penn State, as long as they've got a strong core, strong foundation, they're going to be fine.
Michael, there are two schools of thought on how Johnny Manziel will do at the next level. I think you can make a case probably either way and have a fairly good case. Personally, what are your thoughts on his abilities as far as how they translate to the next level?
I think he's probably going to end up being the second quarterback off the board. I think his game is solid. I love what he can do in terms of his ability to move around the pocket. One of the most elusive guys we've seen, maybe since Michael Vick, his ability to evade defenders is top-notch. And then I love the progress that he showed this year, the ability to push the ball down the field with his arm. He's got a strong arm, something I don't think a million of people talk about. He does have a strong arm. There's a throw in the Duke game where he's on the right NFL hash and makes a throw all the way outside the numbers on the left side of the field. That's a strong arm when you can do that. And so I think he's got the ability to show the ability to go through reads, to go through progressions. I think he's got a bright future at the next level.
Almost before we had gotten the phrase, Chris Ash has left Arkansas to go to Ohio State, we started getting calls that Randy Shannon should be promoted. There's no argument he's the most overqualified linebacker coach in America. Do you think Brett Bielema should look outside the program, or do you think Randy Shannon's an obvious choice to move up?
I've heard Randy Shannon. I've heard the Rob Smith name at Rutgers bandied about. The thing for me with Randy Shannon is how's he going to work out there? I think that obviously, like you said, he is overqualified. He's done a good job. I think he's a very good teacher. And that's what you need. So I think they won't go wrong by promoting him, but I think you got to explore your options. There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of guys that are working as not just position coaches, but guys that are coordinators at a lower level that work hard. I'm surprised that no one's called Mike Elko. I know that he really likes Dave Clawson. I know he just moved to Wake Forest, but Mike Elko is a guy that I would have called a long time ago to because he's a phenomenal defensive coordinator, and he worked wonders at Bowling Green.
Very good. Michael, it's an NFL question quickly before we let you go. Who you like this weekend?
Man, I have no idea. I'm terrible at this. I probably won't even watch it. I'll be at the movies.
He's a purist. College football purist, Michael Felder. I respect it. What are you going to see? What is a movie that is so compelling you have to go see it this weekend instead of watching the NFL games?
Oh, I got Dallas Buyers Club that I still haven't seen yet. And I'm really looking forward to going to see Her with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, he's a weird guy in a weird movie. Thank you, Spike Jones. We appreciate the offering. What about, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street yet?
I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. Saw it the day after Christmas. I absolutely loved that movie.
I did too. And I don't know if that says something about me, but I loved it as well. Anyway, Michael, I appreciate it, man, and thanks for the time so much. We'll catch up again here soon. We're going to be talking college players, not just Johnny Manziel, but others transitioning into the NFL. Get your thoughts on those guys at the next level. So we'll visit again soon.
Sounds good. You guys take it easy.
All right, thanks, man. There are a lot of good movies out right now, I will say that. Justin Ankry, Wally Hall, Ernie Murray is here. If you want to weigh in on the Razorback game, we certainly welcome you. Tommy Merkison is here. We're going to talk about the Arkansas Big Buck Classic. We've already qualified one person for the $10,000 giveaway. Is it true that the 10th